As Paul says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning as I was driving in, I passed a church with a sign out front that said, "Want a new you this new year? Follow Jesus." And that was very appropriate for today because this morning we are looking at the start of Jesus' ministry and looking at some of the first people to follow him. All four of the Gospels tell us that Jesus was baptized by John, and all four also show that Jesus starts recruiting followers soon after his baptism. But John is the only Gospel where we see that some of Jesus' followers were John's followers first. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. They're curious. They want to learn more, and so they decide to hang around Jesus some more. But why exactly? What is it that attracts them? Do they want a new you for a new year? I think that at this stage of the game, they are attracted by what John has to say about Jesus. "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So before Jesus starts his ministry, before he does any miracles, before he tells any parables or offers any teaching, John has recognized who he is. John recognizes Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, and John proclaims Jesus' identity to others. "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This, apparently, is what piques the disciples' attention. Although it may baffle us a little bit, because what does the cross have to do with the beginning of Jesus' ministry? What is this way that Jesus is going to act as a sacrificial lamb and redeem others from their sin? What does it have to do with following him? Well, probably everything. Jesus' sacrificial role is clear from the very beginning, and that is what attracts people's attention. That's what attracts followers to him. Jesus isn't just the newest show in town. He's not trying to promote himself. From the very beginning, it's clear that he has come with a purpose. He has come to save the world. "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Any revelation of the Lord changes everything. There is no more normal after encountering Jesus. And John's disciple Andrew discovers this. John, first of all, points out Jesus to the disciples. And so Andrew and another disciple go check him out. Jesus invites them, "Come and see." And they spend the day with him. The next thing you know, Andrew is persuading his brother, Simon Peter, to come and meet Jesus. So there's this initial curiosity that leads to an opportunity for greater intimacy, and that leads to a relationship with Jesus, and it leads to a growing community. When you come and see Jesus, you have the opportunity to invite others, and you find out something about yourself. You find out that now you are a Jesus follower. Nothing really dramatic happens in this passage. There's no deeply emotional conversion depicted. Just Andrew and this other disciple getting together with Jesus and talking with him normally. And that seems to be enough to make a person his committed disciple. But the journey does not stop there for Andrew, because Christ is made most fully manifest in community, and community includes leaders. And we see in this story the making of Andrew as a leader. These two disciples are the ones who are starting the community gathering around Jesus. And they expand that community. Andrew tells Simon Peter that they've met the Messiah. Andrew leads him to Jesus. And so that makes Andrew the very first leader here among the disciples in this gospel, because he's working to expand the community, to create the church, to care for it. Peter is the one we normally think about as the first leader of the disciples, and he will become a leader, but later on. Today we are going to be installing our officers, our elders and deacons, and lifting up our own leaders to care for the church. And we have arrived at this day by a process that we take quite seriously. We have a nominating committee that is formed by members elected from the congregation, as well as representatives from our session and board of deacons. And I know that you remember this, but remind you that this is a nominating committee of the congregation as a whole, not of the session. And this nominating committee considers which members have the gifts that are needed for the various roles at any given time. They consider who they feel might be called to this service at a particular time. And so the nominating committee presents their slate of nominees at a congregational meeting, which we held back in October. And at that time, the congregation votes to elect them as officers. We're not the only church doing the installation of officers today. I'm sure that Presbyterian churches around the country are doing this at this time of year. But in addition, our partner church, College Hill Community Presbyterian Church, is also having an installation. This afternoon, their new pastor is going to be installed. You met him this summer, the Reverend Dr. Darrell Young. And they followed a similar deliberative process through their pastor nominating committee and had the election by their congregation. This Friday, the new president of the United States will be inaugurated, a new political leader for our country after a long campaign and many debates. And so this is a time to reflect on our leaders. We need leaders to guide us, to give us vision. Leaders are very important in the church, as well as in our state and country and world. But church leaders have a little bit of a different role, because they're not primarily administrators, even though they need to arrange for snow removal and phone service, even though they may need to hire staff or buy new candles for the sanctuary. Church leaders are primarily spiritual leaders. And I know some of you may be kind of going, really? I don't know that that describes me. Believe me, it does. Both elders and deacons care for the spiritual needs of the congregation. For instance, session is responsible for making sure that worship takes place regularly. Session concerns itself with the Christian education of children and adults. The deacons care for the congregation. They keep people connected. They pray with and for them. They provide meals or provide rides. They visit. All these are spiritual needs provided by spiritual leaders. And spiritual leadership can only come from people who take their own determination to follow Jesus themselves. They are determined to spend time with him, just like Andrew. It's not just competence or personal skills or achievement in the world that makes elders and deacons appropriate leaders. It is their maturity as disciples, and in particular, it is their constant attraction to Jesus. Church leaders must continually wrestle with who Jesus is for them, because Jesus is the one who calls them to be followers first, and then only then, leaders. And so for you who are being installed today, and you who are already serving on the session or board of deacons, I ask you to keep in mind that you are asked to be like the disciple Andrew, to go and find out constantly what Jesus is up to, and to take that good news to others. But to those of you who aren't either serving as elders or deacons right now, who have never served as elders or deacons, or those who might not even be members of the congregation, you are in this story too. There's a second disciple who's mentioned in this story, Andrew, and another whose name we don't know. Andrew shows his leadership, but we don't see that for the other one. And perhaps that unnamed disciple will never be a leader in the congregation, because not all of us have the same gifts, after all. But does that other disciple, he or maybe she, does that other disciple, they are curious, they're still curious about Jesus. They're still attracted to Jesus. They still pay attention to Jesus, still follow Jesus. And that's what the rest of us are called to. Called to follow Jesus, because he is the Lamb of God. As John says, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And that's a message for all of us. To follow, to pay attention, and to do what he asks of us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.